We miss Pastor Donnie, or at least I do right now. I miss him right now. I would prefer him to be standing here rather than me standing here. But I've stood here many times. Still find it somewhat intimidating. I still find it somewhat a challenge in my spirit. But I'm very thankful to stand today and give a word. We've just read from Luke chapter 7. Let me turn back to it just a moment. But before I get to it, we've been going through a study on what is God like at the nursing home for the last 21 weeks. We just ended it. 21 lessons on what is God like. And so I picked up in our Wednesday night study with my young boys, mostly boys. We'll take some girls if they'll ever show up. We got a bunch of boys in our midst right now. That's good. Moms and dads, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We need girls, okay? To balance everything out. But we've been looking through what is God like, and I hadn't been able to get away from it. So I said, Lord, please allow me to speak to my brothers and sisters on a facet of you. Now, the study of what God is like has been an intellectual study. We've talked about God being gracious, God being loving, God being merciful, God being faithful, God being infinite, God being almighty, God being all-knowing, and 21 of those types of things. But all that's intellectual, except the Spirit of God work in a person's heart to apply them to your spirit, then it's all just a bunch of knowledge. But knowledge is a good thing. You keep your heart active before the Lord to know the Lord, because Jesus says, to know the living and true God and Jesus Christ as he has sent is what? Eternal life. This is eternal life. And so therefore knowledge is not to be despised in any way. We're to be those that know about our Lord, to know about him. So this morning, we're going to take a few moments and I'm going to take two of those things about God and I'm going to apply them or let the Lord speak to us through this passage, we trust, in Luke chapter 7, and there, grace and love. Grace and love. You know, that amazing grace that saves a wretch like you and me. That grace that is marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. That grace that is greater than all of our sins. And then we're also going to look at that love, which is the love of our Lord, which is so wide you can't get around it, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get over it. It's so much love. It's that so love that God said, and he so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son for us. He so loved us, and he died on the cross to pay the price of all my sin and all your sin. We read about a woman in here. She comes to Simon the Pharisee's house. Jesus is there, and he's sitting at meat in this woman's house. And just a moment, I'd like to investigate, who is this woman? Who is this woman? She sounds very much like the instance where Mary of Bethany comes and anoints our Lord. She came, and Mary of Bethany, and she broke an alabaster box, a very costly, it says, very costly spikenard, and poured it upon the head of Jesus. Well, there's similarities here, but there's not. It's not the same instance. It's not the same woman. If you're to look very closely, even though a lot of people have interpreted it to be maybe Mary of Bethany, and Mary of Bethany is the sister of Martha and Lazarus, but it's not her. It's not her. Some have said it's Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, out of whom our Lord cast out seven demons, would possibly be a suggestive one, but I think it's just another person. We could almost say another Mary. Mary is a very common name in the Bible, and I'm thankful for that. Mary is a beautiful name. If your name's Mary here today, we rejoice in that. The oldest of my two younger sisters' name is Mary Catherine Carmen. She's now in Andrews. That's another matter. We call her Kathy, but her name is Mary. Mary is a very common name. Matter of fact, I've got this little machine with me. Let me get it out here real quick. By the way, if you haven't silenced yours, go ahead and do it. I'm about to silence mine right now, just as a reminder to myself. because I have been in the pulpit several times and it rung. I said, well, here the Lord is talking to us right now. The Lord's calling us. But in mine, I've got like 1,000 names in there. Got like 1,000 names in my phone on speed dial. I've got a bunch of Steves, Steve. Man, I got so many Steves. Johns, I've got so many Johns. John was a famous name. Simon was a famous name. Matter of fact, the reason that Mary of Bethany comes in was because she was at Simon the leper's house, and now we're at Simon the Pharisee's house. And so it sort of looks like it could be her, but I don't believe it's her. This is an unnamed woman, someone else. Someone else. She's someone who came, I think, to give thanks. She came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Without doubt, she came because she had heard him. We would think that she heard him, but she might have just heard of him, but she heard him. And this is what she heard. She heard him preach forgiveness of sins to those who need forgiveness. Her description here is that of a sinner. She is the woman who's a sinner. And the woman who's a sinner here is, sinner here is not used in maybe, and I could say it like this, maybe in the flippant kind of way that you and I might say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. It sometimes rolls off our lips without a whole lot of impact on our lips, to our being, actually. But she was a sinner. The word sinner here is more so describing a sinner exceedingly sinner. In the verbiage of Simon the Pharisee, she was a sinner. Everybody knew she was a sinner. She was a sinner, black as jet as a sinner. She was obnoxious as a sinner. She was filthy as a sinner. And more than likely, she was a sinner that lived a life of tremendous impurity, who walked the streets, wherever they were, outside Simon's house. And she was a lady of the street. She had despised purity. She had despised the call of the law of the Lord. And she knew it. She knew it. And so her heart rejoiced in forgiveness. In forgiveness. This man preaches that I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven. One who had defiled herself as this one, who would we call a scarlet sinner, one who had sinned and made others sin. Now, believing the word of the Lord is now a true miracle of grace. Distinguishing grace that brings eternal life to all who believe. The great sin of your life today is not that you might be a murderer or have been a murderer. The great sin of your life is not that you're an adulterer or have been an adulterer. The great sin of your life is not that you've stolen or lied or coveted. All of the list in the Ten Commandments. All those things, the great sin of your life today is that you have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to believe upon him and rest and trust in his word. And this woman, no doubt a very poor woman, no doubt a very frail woman, a very despised woman, comes as a token of grace, a token of God's grace in the forgiveness of sins, and walks into Jesus Christ's place. Our Lord is called the friend of publicans and sinners. I was standing next to a man who was standing out in the hall at the administrative building in Hartsville here a day or two ago, and we were standing outside the tax assessor's office. And this man brought up a biblical position that this man inside that office was a terrible man. Because he held an office that had tax assessor on it. He was a publican or akin to him, one or the other. And he said, our Lord, in the day of the day, they were bad guys. Yes, but they were guys who received grace. Did you know that? Our Lord was a friend of publicans and sinners. He would take and walk into an arena and go eat with someone that you just were not supposed to eat with. Something that strikes in my memory is quite amazing to me in my life growing up was an instance where I had a real good friend, maybe in the fourth grade or fifth grade. He was shorter and dumber than I was, so I loved him, you know. And we were good friends in school, and he invited me over to his house one day. And so I asked my mom and dad if I could go to his house. And it took them a long time, and they said, no, you can't go to his house. And the reason that I couldn't go to his house is because of something in his parents' life. I don't know all the details, but I couldn't go to his house, and it hurt him. Matter of fact, within a very few months, I lost my friend. I lost my friend. I would that my mom and dad now would have said yes. But evidently, there was a certain measure of sin about their lives that he wouldn't let me go. My mom and dad wouldn't let me go. Listen, don't take up so much the spirit of Simon the Pharisee here. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But take up a free and open spirit toward people. Love people whoever they are, whenever they are, in whatever situation they're in. Love them. Listen, the one that you'd think would least appreciate, the one you would think that would run from the gospel, the one you would think that if you opened your mouth for Christ, no fruit's going to be there, I would almost suggest to you that the answer is just the contrary. You will find fruit there. Walk into that person's world and share your faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. I don't know where she heard it, but she heard that Jesus was sitting at meat at Simon's, the Pharisee's house. So she comes into the house with an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet. Now, more than likely, in that day, it was the custom to recline. More than likely, our Lord was not totally prostrate or anything, but he was reclining, probably on pillows at his head, and his feet laying out on the ground, out on the floor. And she comes in, and with tremendous appreciation and in tremendous violation of decorum, she did something altogether shocking, at least to Simon the Pharisee, and probably all of us, if we'd have been saying, this was out of ordinary. This is not something that you do. But she came in and loved and expressed to Jesus Christ gratefulness for forgiveness of sins. Now, one might argue from the end of the passage that she was forgiven by our Lord at the end of the story. I don't necessarily go along with that. I believe she was confirmed in her forgiveness by the end of the story. But I want you to know, she was forgiven when she walked in the door, and she was rejoicing in that forgiveness. Oh, for us to rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that's ours through Jesus Christ the Lord. Our God often chooses to bestow his grace on particularly vile and defiled sinners. That's you and me, by the way, but we sometimes don't think of ourselves like that. I could use the illustration of Paul. Paul was particularly a sorry, no-count Pharisee of the worst sort, whose breedings of threatenings and murder was replete. Everybody knew. Paul, when he came to the Lord, this church was still scared to death of him for a long, long time. We don't know if we want this guy around here. Don't you remember what he did? Paul was a very beautiful illustration, somewhat like this woman right here, of someone whom the Lord brought to himself that we would not have selected. Simon would not have selected this lady. You and I probably would not have selected Paul to have been the recipient of God's grace. And yet God beautifully, wonderfully, and particularly with distinguishing grace, goes in and saves very defiled people. We met those kind of guys. Danny McEwen was one of those kind of guys. Danny McEwen, I only knew him after he came to the Lord, but he told me so many stories about himself. I'm not sure I would have wanted to have been there. I mean, he shockingly would speak about experiences that he had had. He had a tattoo on his arm. I had never seen it. He always wore long sleeve shirts until one day in my presence, he just rolled up his shirt. We was in a hot context and he had to get a little breath. And when he rolled up his shirt, he had a naked woman on the inside of his arm right there. I'm not trying to be provocative or anything. And I was aghast. Simon the Pharisee came out. And he saw me being aghast. And he said, Carol, B.C., before Christ, I couldn't wash it off or I'd wash it off. I said, well, my goodness. And he always wore long sleeve shirts. And there was no big provocative stance about anything. And that man was bold to walk into anyone's face and tell them about Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the kind of boldness that we see here in this woman. She came and did something that was quite amazing. And God sometimes does save very despicable people to give ordinary wicked sinners like you and I hope. Hope for our children, hope for ourselves, hope for our spouses, hope for our brothers and sisters, hope for our moms and dads. He gives us that to engender hope for us. Grace is magnified in her coming unto the Lord. I'm sure she had in her heart the spirit of gratefulness rising out of the thought, why me, Lord? Why would you save me? I have given myself to every wrong and impure thing. Why would you save me? Why would you deliver me? Why would you do this for me? And he did that for her. What a gloriously wonderful thing grace is. You showered grace upon me. Who am I? Why should I gain from you such favor? When we sang just a few moments ago, why should we gain from his reward? What's the answer? We cannot give an answer. Why should I gain from his reward? Now, once again, this is before he died on the cross. But she knew that forgiveness of sins was found in him. So grace was magnified in her life. Grace that was greater than all. And she in faith believed upon the Lord's call. She believed the good news of the gospel which he went forth and preached from the day that his ministries began. Now, I think this is mid-range in his ministry's time right there, probably a year and a half before our Lord would be crucified. And she walked into his world and messed up Simon's world. Matter of fact, let me go through the dialogue here just a minute to just sort of speak to it. This passage I've spoken on several times, by the way. I went through the book of Luke from a period of time of about 32 years ago to about 24 years ago. I preached 8 years through the book of Luke. And most of y'all weren't even alive to me at that time. Some of you were alive, but most of you weren't alive to me because I didn't know you at that time. Thank you for being here. Some of you went through that study with me, though. And I was thankful for it. It was a beautiful study in the book of Luke. And I crossed this passage, and I think I stuck on this passage for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. But this passage where Simon the Pharisee, he says, if only, in his mind now, if only this man, who now I'm not sure is a prophet or not, I thought he was a prophet, but if he lets that woman touch him like she's touching him, if she let that woman pour out her tears, that wretched, vile stuff flowing out of her eyes, to touch him, then he's not a prophet. And then the Lord, reading all those thoughts in her mind, said this, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. That's the old English. I think there was a sort of a gentlemanness about this right here, a little gentleness about this. I don't believe it came across that way. I think he said, Simon, I got something to say to you. And he said, well, Master, say on. I believe it was a little bit more confrontational than the old King James sort of leads it to believe. I believe it was confrontational. He tells this parable. He said, there were two creditors and two debtors. One owed a man 500 pence and the other owed him 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Who will love him the most, therefore? And Simon says, well, I suppose he who forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, and I want you to see right here the fruit of grace. The fruit of grace for just a moment. Look at her humility. She came in unannounced, uninvited by all means into Simon the Pharisee's house. Uninvited by all means. Very honestly, probably at the very sight of this woman coming into the house, it would have been a marvelous, it's a marvel that she got as far as she did. What is she doing here? In respect, more than likely, for the Lord Jesus, Simon did not oust her immediately because he wasn't sure about the context. But then when she started humbling herself before Jesus, he really couldn't. He'd have to get on the Jesus, get your hind end out of here kind of motif. But he didn't. He didn't. He sat there and took it. But in his mind, he was fuming. He was fuming. Grace is seen by its fruit. She humbled herself. Also, I would share with you that grace is seen by its fruit, and that this, she was very courageous in what she did. Do y'all see that? You see that? It took a lot of courage for her to walk into Simon's house. I bet she would have preferred to have met Jesus out on the street in a private moment, but she didn't. The spirit of gratefulness was rising to such a level that she could not stop. She heard that Jesus was at Simon's house. She had to go. She had to go. And with much courage, she went in, and she knew that she was going to be blasted for going in. It reminds me very much of the reformers that we've been studying. This is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We've been looking at different reformers over the last few months. I have enjoyed reading probably about 15 books on the reformers. And you know what it was similar in all the reformers' lives? Was they were courageous men. They stood and gave an answer to a question that would cost their heads. They stood and gave an answer to a question and they would be immediately carried out and burned at the stake if they answered contrary to the authorities in that day. Sometimes those authorities were the church, sometimes those authorities were the state, but if they answered wrongly, it cost them dearly, and most of them their lives. But with great courage, they would go in and say those words. Great courage, they would bring to bear an answer. Great courage. This woman right here, and that's a fruit. That's a fruit of this kind of grace. Of grace in your life. A fruit that's grace in your life should be to you and to me humility. Should be from you to me courage in our lives, that we live our lives bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the early church, they prayed for boldness. We need to pray for boldness every Wednesday night. Please hear me on that. We need to pray for boldness to be courageous to speak and do things unseemingly for the glory of the Lord, demonstrating the love that we have in our hearts for Jesus Christ the Lord. We should do that. This fruit was very practical. Very practical. She came. She gave thanks with tears. She brought substance with her. She was no pretender here. She poured out herself as she poured out the ointment upon Jesus' feet. She kissed it. Matter of fact, did you notice in there that it says, and she kissed his feet, which was just altogether not the thing to do in that day. Matter of fact, it used to be a statement of deriding when a person angry departed from someone about kissing feet. But grace is seen here in the Lord's very clear acceptance of this woman. he rose and defended her, and his defense is beautiful. He knew her sin, for he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing God. He knew her heart's condition. He knew what she had been, and he knew the faith that was now hers resident, believing in the Lord. He knew her repentance. He knew the poverty of spirit. He knew the poured out grace that had come into her life. He knew all this, and this was all previous to this meeting. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And to see the condescending grace of our Lord as he stooped down, defended her. And we see the condescending of our Lord in everything in his ministry and life to us. We see it in him giving himself upon the cross. We see him in being a friend to publicans and sinners. We see it in everything he does. And we should be those who stand starkly with gratefulness and humility to trust in him. Grace seen in that our Lord becomes the defenders of those who repent and believe. You want a defender of you? Repent and believe, and you will have someone who will defend you throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Well, for Christ to rise and defend this woman gives great heart to me. He said, essentially, she is mine. And hallelujah, he said that to me. And I rejoice in that. Are you his this morning? Are you his? Would he rise and defend you? Would he rise and own you? That he owns me today is a wonderful thing to me. And there are those like Simon who would mock. There are those like Simon who will speak against grace even. It's an amazing thing that people would speak against grace, but he rises and defends. What did he say? There was no sin in her as she approached me. He defended her and said, she did a beautiful, holy thing. She was holy in what she did. But Simon, I can't say the same of you. Did you notice that in the passage? You didn't bring no water for me to wash my feet. You didn't bring any kisses to me. You didn't anoint me with oil. He indicted Simon in the midst. She was holy in all that she did. She said to her, come, you blessed of my Father. She was forgiven. And grace can be seen in the bestowal of the great favors that he showed to her in the last verse. And the last verse is better said in verse 48, thy sins are forgiven, a confirmation of where she was in her faith. He says to her in verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace to this woman. How great is our Lord's grace. Amen. Amen. How great is our Lord's grace. May we never get over that we have been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we live our lives in every moment. What a great, great grace is ours through Jesus Christ the Lord. So I said I was going to speak on two attributes real quick. I want to take just a moment now, finish up. With the love of our Lord. The love of our Lord. She loved so much because she had been given so much. She loved so much because God's grace had flowed into her life and she loved him for it. The love that she had, the source of that, was the very forgiveness and grace of God in her life. Listen, we should be those who love him. Love him over the top. Love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, through the Holy Spirit, is the source and the fountain of love. We love God because he first loved us and has forgiven us. And we delight in that today. But there's a secondary cause, and it's spoken of in the passage. And the secondary cause is faith. Grace is the source of the love, but faith is the agent by which that love is brought unto us, wrought in our lives. We're to have faith in God. We're to trust in him for that grace every day of our lives. And by that, the Holy Spirit works faith in us, and we begin to love our Lord more and more and more and more. It's the food for love. We're to love him. We're to yearn for love. We haven't sung it in a long time. We need to sing more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. We need to sing, I want to love you more, Lord. I want to love you more. The food of love is a sense of our sin and a grateful sense of our forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. After lunch today, we're going to be given an opportunity to come back to the table of the Lord. It's not down there yet, but it soon will be. After lunch today, we're going to have a third service. We're going to come. And we're coming today, and it's a place for sinners. But it's also a place of remembrance, wherein we come and remember what He has done for us. And very honestly, this was what she did that day. That's what this sinner did that day. She came and loved the Lord for what He had done for her, and He remembered her that day. I don't want to drag you in here to this beautiful service, but I want you to come. I want you to come and to remember our Lord. Love brought this woman to our Lord. May His love bring you to worship and adore Him all the days of our lives, today and every day. Her worship and her service to Jesus was personal. Also, she came alone. She did not have anyone to attend her. She did not have someone to escort her. There's a certain sadness about that, but that's the way it is in life. Our love has to be personal unto Jesus. Our love and service to Jesus has to be personal. No one stood with her, though. She cried alone. She knelt down alone. She was before her Lord alone, and her service was so fervent, so beautiful. She did not care for the looks of men. She threw all of her love to Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, should we not do the same? Don't hide the love of the Lord in your heart. Don't hide it there. Let that love shower forth unto others, those you work with, those around you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love that He bestows upon men, that great and glorious love, be seen in your life and in my life and all that we do each and every day. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Our Father, we thank You for this beautiful, beautiful picture of Your rising, defending, accepting, loving, pouring out grace upon a sinner that was exceedingly a sinner. And Lord, how beautifully You took her as Your own. Lord, we bless You for it. For Lord, if we're here today as, as believers in You, in so many ways, we in kinship with her understand. For Lord, You have washed us from our sins. You have given us great grace. Lord, help us to walk in the arenas that this woman walked in, willing to do whatever was necessary to worship the Lord, doing whatever was necessary to be at His feet, sitting there, anointing them, kissing them, rejoicing in Him who had wrought forgiveness and salvation in her heart. Lord, please bless, and Lord, please keep, we pray. Make us those men and women, those boys and girls that would love You with all that we are. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I would like for you to get a red hymnal and turn to number 297. We'll do this without music, by the way. Let's do this without music. 297, Grace That Is Greater Than All of Our Sins. And if you don't mind, stand and let's sing with all of our hearts the marvelous grace of our loving Lord.